Cobram Estate is the most awarded Australian extra virgin olive oil. Let it be the hero when entertaining family and friends. Cobram Estate extra virgin olive oil is fresh and full of flavour. Perfect for roasting, frying, baking, dressing salads and for dipping bread. Make your food taste even better with a little help from Cobram Estate. Premium quality, great tasting and a versatile healthy alternative. Buy in store at all major retailers.
Clubby Sport.
Yes, welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of Tradies, brought to you by Callaway. Mitchell, welcome to you.
Hello to you, Samuel. I've been using the Callaway backpack you got me, actually. It made its first trip down to Tassie in the last few days.
I did notice it was in the broadcast booth tonight.
And because my other leather backpack, the zip has shut itself.
Sorry, leather backpack?
Yeah, I was rolling with one of those for a moment.
How many leather backpacks do people roll around with?
I had one.
I've heard of the leather satchel. And I've heard of the standard backpack.
I like the backpack more than the satchel. It's just a bit more convenient for me.
No, anyway, I'm a backpack guy as well now. But
you are?
Well, you saw my mini backpack.
Oh, yeah, what brand was that?
It doesn't matter what brand it is.
No, tell me, because I couldn't work it out. I don't operate
it's
in those
areas.
It's
a brand called Off-White.
Is that sort of Balenciaga sort of territory?
It doesn't. I'm not getting into it. Let's talk about this later.
That's it. Yes.
So we are recording. So last year we recorded at night.
Yes.
And this year we've started recording in the afternoon, which has been better for both of our schedules.
We went from the night schedule to a twilight fixture.
And here we are, episode 2, and you're already shifting us around because you're that big.
Yeah.
So explain to the listeners why.
I went down to Tassie for the last 2 days for the launch of the 19th AFL licence. I was in Devonport where Andrew Dillon, Grant O'Brien, the Tassie CEO, Matthew Richardson were there. There was six simultaneous.
G'day, guys. Richo here.
That'll get back.
It's like I've done it many a time.
Right. That's your Richo impersonation for those playing along.
Joel Selwood's just heading down to the boundary. I'll keep an eye on it.
What? So I requested early in preparations for this show to see if we could move it back a little bit later. And now we've walked into the studio and it feels like I'm in a sauna because Nick Butler and Sam Draper have just come out of the 200 plus record.
And I've had to cancel plans for tonight.
Yeah, I felt bad with that.
Yep.
But we are... Just shows how committed we are for the tradies audience because I was going to push for Wednesday morning, but I thought, no, my cousin is a truck driver. He'll be listening to this at about 4:30 Wednesday morning. We need the show on people's phones when they wake up.
Did you hit the town in Devonport?
I went out for a couple of quiet drinks.
Yep. Who was there?
There wasn't much going on in Devonport on a Monday night at 9:10-ish, so most people who were at the event sort of found their way into the same pub, Molly Malone's in Devonport.
Okay.
And great hospitality.
Yep. Who are you sitting with?
TJ, Tony Jones was there.
Yep.
The camera crew, Drew Jones.
Yep. Fox Sports News.
Iza Stashkowski from the Today Show was sent down as well.
Yep.
And then about 9:30 after the official AFL proceedings were wrapped up, Andrew Dillon.
There it is. Waiting on you. I could feel he was waiting to name drop. I could feel it. So you're having beers with
Damien Gill,
AFL CEO.
AFL Tasmania CEO.
Don't worry about that.
They're important people.
No, but Andrew is.
He is, yeah.
Right. So just should have rolled with Dills? Or are you Andrew or are you Mr. Dillon? Or
it's funny. Obviously, you and I have both known Dills before he became a CEO.
Yep.
It's a bit of a different vibe now, but I'm a Dills guy. What are you?
I'm a Dills guy. Mr. Dillon for me. He's actually as a CEO.
Yeah,
he's very approachable.
As
Gil was, to be honest. Like,
and he was like that in the pub last night. There was a conference of dairy farmers in one corner of the pub, and he spent a bit of time with them. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. He's a man of the people.
Mitch and Dills sitting in the corner of a pub in Devonport on a Monday night. That wasn't on my bingo card for 2000.
Are you excited though? The Devils
24. Sure. Yeah. If it happens, yep.
I'll get excited. Saturday's big for the election.
I'll get excited.
We might need a mini air raid siren on Saturday night after the election.
Yeah. What a special
massive reception to our first. It's in the podcast stream.
So you
or the
come
channel
in and record on Saturday night.
Well, I'll be already up and about with Saturday Scoop. So maybe.
Grand Prix for me, so I might sort of...
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you got your tickets, you went into the office sniffing around for last week.
Anyway, let's move on to the whiteboard.
There's a couple of big stories that I think you're going to explode. It's going to be a big trade.
I want to start the whiteboard tonight, and it's a man that everyone would have heard of, finished top five in the Brownlow Medal last year, Errol Goulden, who had this to say on radio on Monday.
How are you handling the whole process, you and your management, Errol, about, okay, when should I look to try to re-sign if I am going to stay at the Swans?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a day-to-day thing, and we're obviously in constant communication with the club, and you know, it has tailed off a little bit now that the season started. Obviously, I want my majority share of my focus to be on playing footy, and you know, there's things always happening in the background. There's always communication happening, and I'm not going to sit here and kid yourself and say that I don't think about it or don't chat with a manager about it. I obviously do, and it's a big decision in my life, and it's going to affect me for hopefully the next, you know, 10, 11, 12 years. So, yeah, it's just a constant communication and working out what the best thing for the footy club is for me and for my manager, for my family. So there's a lot of things that go into it. It's kind of why it's a really difficult question to answer, I feel. It's never a one-size-fits-all, and everyone's in unique situations. So it's something that you got to take time with and make the best decision for all of the parties involved.
So I think it's an unbelievably candid way of talking about your contract when you're still 21.
Yep.
Like that if I heard Jack McRae, who we might be talking about soon, talk that way as a, you know, near 30-year-old, you'd say, okay, well, he's probably earned enough stripes. I'm not saying Errol hasn't, but I was so it was so refreshing to hear a guy say, hey, you know, this actually is a big life decision. All the indications, Mitch, that having spoken to several clubs today and spoken to the Swans, is that he'll stay.
Now, which is a surprise to me that you put him on the whiteboard, because he's a Tasmanian. He's a Sydney kid, born and bred from the academy.
You know, no, he's on the whiteboard because the whiteboard isn't just about guys who are definitely going to leave. That's my first season whiteboard clearly demonstrated.
Oh, yeah.
The whiteboard is more about making sure that the people that are being talked about at Clubland are now being talked about by our listeners.
Okay.
And, you know, people are going to throw the kitchen sink at Errol Goulden, and he's put it on the agenda, and that's why I wanted to put it on the whiteboard, that he's happy to wait.
Yeah.
He's happy to wait. And the reason is that with every game that he plays, another 30 disposals on the weekend against the Pies, his price goes up a little bit more. Like, if he gets to the end of the year and plays the way that we all think he's going to play, then there's no way that people can just talk about 2023 as a flash in the pan.
He could win the Brownlow this year.
Yeah, but by the same token, he might get – now, I don't think this is going to happen. He might get found out to a degree, say, call it 10, 15%, and people put a bit more work into him. He starts getting tagged a little bit more, and he's run and carry, and he doesn't hit the scoreboard as much. And then, you know, his contract discussion probably you know, the gloss of that 5 or 10% gets taken off. So I love the fact that he's backing himself in. I was thinking about this today, Mitch, that I wanted to ask you, and I asked quite a few list managers today, who's he like? Because he's quite different to most of the other guns that have come through. So like Oliver's a ball magnet.
Yep.
Petrarca sort of goes through and can play multiple positions and hits the scoreboard. Cripps is a warrior who, you know, is like 6'5" and a centre-half forward that plays as a midfielder. When you think Errol Goulden, who's the player that has come prior to him that you most liken him to? There's one that's in my head, but I would love to put you, and this is a question without notice.
Yeah, that's a great question. The first one, maybe because they're both left footers, that came to mind, same city, is Josh Kelly in recent times.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, interesting. So for me, Goulden is probably okay. Bit more of a gut runner, not that Kelly's not a gut runner, and Kelly's more your like Rolls Royce, beautiful user, but probably doesn't hit the scoreboard as much.
Yeah.
The one I thought about was Andrew Gaff, but Goulden clearly hits the scoreboard, whereas Gaff never really did. But when Gaff was All Australian winning best and fairest,
he got 20 Brownlow votes in a season. I was going through his numbers earlier, Andrew Gaff.
Yeah. I think like Gaff's gut running, that left foot.
Linebreaker. He could.
The thing about Goulden, though, is that he goes forward with the ball.
Yeah.
Gaff was a sort of like a bit of a surgeon, like Gary Ablett was to a degree. You might go back and sideways before he then gets a 1-2 and goes forward.
And he suited that West Coast possession style for a long time.
Yeah. So Goulden's clearly going to be offered well over seven figures and by Sydney, and he's going to get offered more.
And he's going to have to knock back to money to stay, isn't he?
That's right. He's going to have to knock back money to stay. His manager, Ben Williams, has a reputation among clubs of getting the absolute best deal that he can every single contract for his client. Now, some of our traders listeners might be sitting here saying, well, wouldn't every single manager do that, and they do. But remember, like the managers that have quite a few clients, they're all dealing with multiple clients at multiple clubs, and they're acting almost as mini list managers in a way. They've got their whiteboards in their offices saying, okay, well, who do we need to re-sign at this club? If he doesn't sign here, could we get him here? Whereas the guys like at Ben Williams, who I'm just trying to think of his other clients, like an Isaac Heaney,
Connor Rosie,
a Jack Lukosius, a Connor Rosie. He has a smaller pen.
Yeah.
So when it comes to these guys making big life decisions like this, it's like, well, you know,
yeah,
I can get you 1.15 at Sydney, or I could get you 1.175 at Collingwood, or I could, you know, I'm just making this up, like whatever it is. But I guess my point is whether he signs short term, and this is what his fourth year, so he'd probably just sign another 4 years to get to free agency, would be my guess.
Or he could go two and back himself.
Or he could go two and back himself.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of cash.
I just wanted to talk about another layer, and off the back of that Ben Williams discussion around certain players and management in little pockets at clubs. So Sydney is one. They've also got Logan McDonald out of contract and a few others like Will Haywood, James Rowbottom.
Ollie Florent.
Yeah, there's some stars amongst them.
Yep.
Ben Williams also manages not only Errol Goulden, he's got Isaac Heaney and Logan McDonald. So he would have a fair understanding of the salary cap situation at the Swans, given he's got a large portion of those guys. And like the Errol Goulden, Logan McDonald, both the Swans are coming to both with contract offers. So let's just say Logan McDonald is being offered $750,000 a season to stay at the Swans right now.
Yep.
If Ben knows that he's likely to knock that back or wants to wait, then he knows that money might open up in the cap for Errol.
I think that's a really good point. And to extend on that, what I would say is that Ben also likes to test the market with his clients, which is absolutely fair game.
He's got Taran Thomas. There was interest from Essendon last year.
Yeah. Isaac Heaney met with North Melbourne all those years ago before signing the mega deal with Sydney. I think Isaac Heaney met with Gold Coast 2 years ago before he signed another deal. So I think Ben is more than open to saying, okay, well, let's chat. Let's see what you can get.
There's also just a couple others in the similar mold this year. So
let's have the text to play. I'm going to put Errol, even though I know I think he's going to stay, just so everyone's saying.
So as you do that, we spoke a little bit last week about it with Connors Sports. So Paul Connors, Nick Geeshan and Robbie D'Orazio at Connors Sports.
Yes.
They've got Jamari Ugle-Hagan, but they've also got Bailey Smith. So if one of those guys is leaning towards foot out the door, they'll know that there's more money in the cap for the other.
Don't waste your Bulldog stuff. You're about to put a Bulldog on
the Giants, for example. Look at Hemisphere Management and what they've got with Lachie Ash, Cadman, Callahan, Himmelberg, Iden. Mm. Management groups are growing and increasingly got more say on what happens in certain pockets of certain
which
clubs.
Which may be an issue in the future, by the way.
And just one other one at Geelong, for example, with Phoenix Management, Winston Rouse and Scott Lucas, they've got the two ruckmen there, Reece Stanley and Toby Conway. Mm. They also manage Sean Darcy. So there's all this talk last year about can the Cats throw the kitchen sink at Sean Darcy? Well, would that have been in their best interest to go and get Darcy in when they've got Conway and Stanley?
Yeah.
They also had Darcy Fort in a previous life at Geelong. So it's just another layer for our listeners, I think, to explain that, yes, there's a player out of contract, and yes, they're going to get offered a stack load of money. There's also a few little machinations that go with it.
Errol, double R, double L?
One L.
One L?
Double R.
Errol.
Yep.
Okay. One L doesn't look right. But it's on the whiteboard. Mitchell.
I'm going to put Jack McRae on my whiteboard officially.
Oh, yes.
Under your definition of what you've just said in the last few moments, that they don't necessarily have to move. Now, I'm saying that Jack McRae
clubs are talking about
is one that's going to be spoken about at length this year. And we sort of flagged it a little bit last week when a few murmurs getting around. Was he going to be picked? Was he not? Well, he's now had to play three VFL games.
He had one of the all-time great VFL games on the weekend, by the way.
What did he have?
25 clearances.
25 clearances?
Yep.
In one game?
Yep.
Christ.
Oh, goodness. Blasphemy. Welcome. Welcome to tradies for the first time.
Wow. That would have been a shortened game too with the...
Hand up. I haven't checked that, but I was told that today.
Sounds good. Matt Rowell had 20 in round one. We were all singing his praises.
Yeah.
So Jack McRae, and we spoke about it last week, the biggest factor here for me is that this is a team that has gone through a lot of leadership change in the off-season. They've shaken up their footy department around Luke Beveridge. Marcus Bontempelli remains captain. But another layer to that is that Tom Liberatore is now the vice-captain, the role that Jack McRae had last year. Not only has he been demoted from that position, he's out of the leadership group altogether. And this is a guy who's 30, all-Australian, really still in the prime of his career at that age.
Contracted until?
2027.
Yep.
So we know that Luke Beveridge is like Luke Beveridge likes to throw the magnets around on his own whiteboard at the breaks. But I'm putting Jack McRae there because I think clubs, if this goes on and continues throughout the year, not only has he been dropped from the leadership group, but the selection squeeze being moved out of the centre bounce, they're going to continue to use Riley Sanders more there. He was used last year at half forward, was Jack McRae. So he goes on my whiteboard.
And so to what you were sort of, you were nudging at earlier was, and I know I talked about this last week when I put Bailey on the whiteboard, but you know, the fact that they've got English out, the fact that they've got Jamara out, the fact that the coach, we don't really know what's happening. I mean, like, yeah, maybe, should I put Jamara? No, wait, I'm going to hang on to Jamara. He's going up soon though.
Yeah, if he doesn't re-sign in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I think he needs to be on one of our whiteboards.
Yeah. Do you think he re-signs that soon? What? I'd be waiting.
It was very promising November, December. And I spoke to him saying he wanted to stay and he loves the club. He feels like he's indebted because of what they went through with the academy. But the market demands right now, given along with Logan McDonald, it's only really Jamara as the gun key forwards on the market. Clubs are going to offer massive cash.
Oh, yeah, it's blank checkbook sort of stuff. Yeah. It's more if Jamara wants to take the risk of going somewhere where he doesn't have the protection of Norton, doesn't have the protection of Lobb, of Darcy.
And it's the length of contract that interests me around this too, because he can stay at the Bulldogs. He's year four now, same draft as Errol. He can sign for two more. He can sign for four to take in a free agency.
He can sign for 10.
He can sign for 10.
Yeah.
Another club could come with 11.
It's Hamish and Andy early days at Fox FM. It's just blank check sort of stuff for Jamara.
I like that. Note that I'm putting my whiteboard in small letters so I can fit a lot more names on there. It's going to be a big year.
Okay. I'd like to just talk about lots of good players on my whiteboard. That's very small. It's very small. How many are you going to put up there?
It's 2 weeks in and I've already got 3 names up there, so one and a half a week.
Anyone else for your whiteboard before I just want to talk about a certain team?
Harrison Petty.
Oh.
Maybe I'll wait for next week to really flesh that out.
Okay, so he's tentatively...
Yes.
Is he being penciled on? Can you use pencil on a whiteboard? I don't think so.
We'll go through Petty more next week. First game back this week for Melbourne. Contract until 2025. But there was a... half an inclination to look around last year for a move back to...
Half an inclination? He did that interview, remember at the golf club in South Australia? He's like, yeah, it's fine. I guess I'll go back.
Yeah.
Okay, whiteboard done for EPTO?
Yep.
Okay. Can we talk about West Coast?
Yes, we can.
I thought Harley Reid was excellent in his debut game. His first 5 or 10 minutes was exquisite. Like, you could just tell why everyone wanted him so much. He's got so much poise. The blonde locks running around at number 9, like it all just looks right.
Gave Todd Marshall a bit of what for?
Unfortunately, he's going to be by himself for a while.
Mm.
Mitch, I'm so concerned about this footy club. They hung in the game for 2.5 quarters in Adelaide because Port Adelaide was so...
they couldn't kick straight.
Well, they kicked 24 behind? Yeah. It was something like 17-24 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think they scored from 41 of their 57 entries. I know we're getting towards air raid siren. Here is Scott. Good EP1, by the way. But here's what interests me about... And I know I talked about this quite a bit last year. But so I look at Harley Reid and I'm thinking, okay, who's with him? So it's the same too as last year, Hewitt and Ginby.
Yep.
Then who else is it? I asked that question legitimately.
There's not much, to be honest.
So Andrew Gaff, and I'm a Andrew Gaff man. Like, I love Andrew Gaff. He's had a shocking fall from grace.
Yep.
Which has actually been quite sad. I don't know if he's actually been the same player since the Brayshaw incident. He missed a grand final and, you know, like, geez, I feel for him. But to be subbed off with 4 disposals is just, I don't want that to be the end of his career. I don't want us to think about the last 2 or 3 years of his career as this. I prefer to think about the absolute star that he was. He had 4 disposals. Jack Darling is clearly done. So those two are done. Has had 4 disposals.
Jack Darling would be better in a team that is, you know, he's not having to be the main guy.
Jack Darling's done at West Coast, Mitch. He's done at West Coast. Like, Barras had 4 disposals. Your man, Barras. Now, again, they should have let him go. They could have got 2 first-round picks for him.
Yeah, they could have.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you were on that before anyone last year. Sydney would have given
He decided to stay in the NBA. He's contracted to do so.
Yeah,
but
like ultimately, if you're West Coast,
yeah,
if you're managing that list and you're thinking...
He had a look. He had a
hang on,
look.
We looks like we're going to have pick one here. It looks like we're going to have Harley Reid. Yeah. Let's add a couple more first-round picks so this kid can have time. So Oscar Allen is still young. He's captain. He wasn't great. He didn't kick a goal. Then you've got, you know, guys who you're just not sure about. Like Petrucelli's a senior player now.
He's 25, Petrucelli, this year.
Cripps is nearly gone.
Yeah. Williams,
Tim Kelly at 16 disposals playing the midfield.
The Kelly trade is the one, three first-round picks it essentially equates to. That's now players between 21 and 24 years of age on your list that you don't have stars.
I mean, like they're two leading, they're three leading ball winners on the weekend with Jaden Hunt, who... Like West Coast Melbourne let go.
He's a fringe player at Melbourne.
Fringe player at Melbourne, and he's taking the kick out. So he's getting some free disposals.
He's had 24 behinds to work with there too.
Elliot Yeo, who was a very good player for quite a long time. His career is all but done.
He's in the twilight.
Yeah. I mean,
still a good player.
They could have traded him to Gold Coast. Could have got a decent pick for him.
Yep.
Decided not to. And then McGovern, how long's McGovern got left?
A couple of years max.
This year and next year, absolute maximum. So yep. I just want, like, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, so you go and get Reid, you do the most fanfare I've ever seen from a club picking anyone in the history of the game. And it's like, cool, what are you going to do in the next 3 years to prove to this kid that he should stay? Because if I've said it once, I'm going to say it a million times. He's not going to hang around just cause. He's going to have every single club in Victoria knocking on Nick Geishan's door in 2 years' time going, hey, Harley's out. I noticed he hasn't extended at West Coast. Any chance he'd want sort of 1.2 to play for us for the next 8 years?
The response I'd have to that is that West Coast are a juggernaut. Like they've got networks and commercials coming out of their backside. Like they're the biggest show in town.
How does that help you win games?
No, but like he'll get offers to do stuff.
They're the biggest show in town in a state where there's only two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
I'm just saying this is different to the Jason Horn Francis. He's one of 10 Victorian teams. North Melbourne are in the bottom two or three in terms of importance in this state when Jason Horn Francis leaves North Melbourne. You know, I think that's the recent comparison, right? Two number one picks.
What chance Adam Simpson is still coaching when Harley goes into his last year of his contract?
Oh, on recent form, you'd have to say very, very, very unlikely.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I will say to West Coast is they're going to have to go after free agents in the next few years. Tim English is at the top of that list. They're going to have cap room to do so. So this is a bit micro Mitch areas, but
I've noticed on the rundown, you and Scott have put in throw to micro Mitch.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to.
And there's a stinger.
Yeah, we've been working on that.
I've not been made aware of this.
West Coast and Essendon.
I thought I had final sign off on this show.
Are two of the clubs that don't put CBA uplifts in their contracts.
So say again, West Coast and Essendon are the two clubs that don't put. Ah, yes, right.
So let's just use McGovern for example.
He got that massive deal.
Yeah, or that's probably not a good one. Elliot Yeo. CBA goes up. Let's say he's on, for round figures, $500,000.
Yep.
Pirate Geelong, that might go up to $600,000 or $700,000 as part of the CBA uplift.
For Elliot,
Yeo
nothing.
Stays.
Yep.
So the Eagles are going to have more cap room to work with in the next few years, like Essendon.
Yeah.
That's why you've seen Jordan Ridley extend in recent times.
Yeah, their cap room, West Coast cap room right now doesn't really matter.
No.
Because they're not going to be attracting anyone there.
Well, free agents, WA free agents, potentially.
Well, like English.
English. Liam Baker's a trade option this year, but WA kid, does he want to go home? He's already achieved what he can at Richmond.
West Coast.
But, you know, where's Richmond headed to?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're the things. They are going to have more cap room they can poke a stick at in terms of attracting guys.
Which is great. But and I'm just saying that they could have really cashed in at the draft.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
And then Harley Reid would be going, oh, yeah, there's four other 18-year-olds in the locker room that I walk in every day that I can see myself playing with them in 10 years.
Melbourne could have thrown the kitchen sink at Jack Darling. Could you imagine that forward line with Jack Darling, who's probably got 18 months of good footy left in him.
Yeah.
These are different examples.
I think Darling might be over the hump. No?
Give me a few more weeks before I put a line through.
Is he one of Mitch's men?
He's had a great career.
Is he in the Max Holmes territory?
I've got another one to add to that list, actually, in the Ed Raid siren.
Oh, no. Wait, are you hanging? Hang on.
I'm teasing for the next episode.
Are we cross-referencing podcasts?
Our own stuff.
Wow. Okay. Anything you want to talk about before we get to Nuts End?
Just on the weekend, Collingwood's back on. Darcy Moore is defending on an island at the moment with Nathan Murphy out of the side.
Yep.
Air raid Sorenish, but it shows why they went so hard at Tom Duday last year. They were seriously in that race before he chose Brisbane. He's got family up in that area of the world, up on the southeast corner of Queensland. He could actually make his Lions debut on Easter Thursday. He's tracking so well from his ACL recovery, Tom Duday. Could you imagine that Collingwood back line with a free agent like him in it right now?
Yeah, it'd be massive.
Murphy, there's still no timeline. Frampton might come in this week to relieve some down there. More, they're a little bit undermanned down there. Charlie Dean's been thrown to the Wolves in his first two games. So that just caught my eye on the weekend when Sydney took 18, 19 inside 50 marks. What another key back could have done for that Collingwood back line.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the podcast and hope you enjoyed episode one, Mitch, of Air Raid or the Siren or the Air Raid Siren. Sort of like we're double dipping with the names.
We'll nail it.
We'll get there by the end of the season. Did you know that if you're listening to Tradies, episode two of The Siren is out right now. So after you're done with Tradies, make sure you give The Siren a listen. Now back to the pod. Okay, time for nuts and bolts.
Bontempelli found a way out.
A little bit of a different feel to nuts and bolts this week. I've been wanting to talk about this situation for probably a couple of years now, but haven't really had the forum to do it. And now that the Western Bulldogs are basically the most talked about team when it comes to trade, Mitch, and also how they're going to go this year with the uncertainty surrounding Luke Beveridge's future, I want to talk about the man that no one's talking about when it comes to contracts, and that is Marcus Bontempelli.
Oh.
So let me take you back before we go forward. We'll take two steps back, one step back to go two steps forward in the words of Damien Hardwick. November 2018, he signed a two-year deal.
Yep.
Until the end of 2021. Yep. And at that stage, there's a couple of eyebrows raised across the competition with, gee, that's interesting. Like, Marcus Bontempelli would have been offered more than 2 years. I wonder why he's just signed for 2 years. He was on SEN at the time. In fact, he was on SEN's Time On. Which means that...
That's a quality show. That was a quality show.
Well, they had a good host for a while, but yeah. I think it's sort of fallen by the wayside. Anyway...
And he got timed out.
very good. He said, I'm reading direct quotes here, it may work for some players to extend a bit longer, but I've always signed shorter extensions. There's a bit of intrinsic value for me to continue to stay accountable for what I want to achieve. As an individual player, I think I've got a lot of growth ahead of me, and it keeps me really invested from day to day. Okay, no problems. So he signs a two-year deal to the end of 2021, which would be the end of his eighth year, which of course takes him to free agency. May 2021, so they sorted out nice and early.
But he's still 3 or 4 months into his free agency year at this stage.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's early for him to be ready. He didn't get all the way to the end of the year of free agency.
Yeah.
So they tried to get it out of the way nice and early. He signs a four-year extension, a tick over $1 million a year until the end of 2025. Now, at the time that he re-signs, he's 25, he's a three-time Best and Fairest winner, a three-time All-Australian, and he's 18 months into being captain. He is...
The guy.
And he's probably at this stage, if he's not the best player in the competition, he's very, very close. There's no one at this stage in 2021 that holds more value than Marcus Bontempelli. Then, as we know, what happens for the rest of the year? The Bulldogs go on a run. Bontempelli finishes second in the Brownlow medal. He polls 33 votes and loses to Ollie Wines, who polls 36. The top 10...
That's extraordinary, 36 votes.
Yep. It was the COVID year. I was actually in the room when it happened. It was in Perth. Were you over there at the time?
No.
It was a weird Brownlow medal count. It was even weirder that someone polled 33 votes and finished second. And then Clayton Oliver polled 31 and finished third. And Sam Walsh polled 30 votes and finished fourth.
Sam Walsh polled 30 votes?
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal.
So the leaderboard was Wines, Bontempelli, Oliver, Walsh. Darcy Parrish finished fifth in the Brownlow medal. Jack Steele, Tom Mitchell, Travis Boak, Jared Lyons, Christian Petrarca. Jared Lyons finished ninth in a Brownlow medal, by the way. Just a random little stat that I reckon Scott will just throw out at the pub at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take that with you. That week, Marcus Bontempelli has 25 and kicks three he's the best player for the Dogs in a losing grand final. I still find it weird that he didn't get one Norm Smith medal vote. Luke Hodge, if you're listening, I know we've already had that argument. Please don't.
Did any Dogs players get a vote? Again.
I don't think they did.
Yeah.
But that
the margin he put
them,
blew out.
I understand that, but he put them 3 goals up with 11 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah. He was the best player on the ground in the first 80 minutes of that game.
So how does he not get one vote from one of the people?
Mm.
Anyway, that's just a it's by the by. So his value, if anything, has increased. Now, midway through that year, now there's a lot going on in the world, and by the end of that year, everyone in footy that I speak to when it comes to contracts asks the same question. Why did Bontempelli only sign for 4?
Put my hand up. Same situation. These free agent stars usually sign for 6, 7, 8.
The Western Bulldogs, Mitch, were asking the same question. They thought they just got out with the best deal of all time.
Yeah.
Is that he wanted to sign for 3 and we convinced him to sign for 4. Marcus Bontempelli, managed by the biggest, if not one of the biggest, star managers in the game, in Tom Petroro. Tom Petroro gets the deals for his clients. Tom Petroro is the guy that got Cornelio 8 years. Years later, Clayton Oliver gets 7 at Melbourne.
Yeah.
Christian Petrarca gets 7 at Melbourne. So we ask, why is Marcus Bontempelli signing a 4-year deal? Also, why was he not signing a deal for longer term at more money? Bontempelli, as we sit here right now, is still the highest paid player at the Western Bulldogs. But by the end of this year, he probably won't be when they re-sign Jamara.
Yeah, for his 2025 season.
Yep. So the theory is that Bontempelli is just the most club guy, club first guy you will ever meet.
That's phenomenal.
Because there's no real theory that Marcus would sign the 4 years in a way that he would, okay, I'll back myself to be even better by the time I get to the end of that contract, and then I might sign. So now I'm not saying the Bulldogs are trying to do this now, and I'm not saying that he's going to leave. But if I'm the Bulldogs, I'm putting 5 in front of him, a 5-year extension in front of him right now. Because like you can lose Jamara, you can lose English, you can lose Smith, you can't lose Bontempelli. Like, the club may close down if you lose Bontempelli.
But wouldn't you wait, if you're the Bulldogs, 12 more months until older? Because he's worth a lot more now.
You leave yourself open, though, Mitch. It doesn't matter. Like, you leave yourself open to someone like a Collingwood or a Carlton or an Essendon or like whatever it is.
Unless Bont's knocking on your door, though.
Yeah. I don't want this to get misconstrued. I don't think there's any scenario where Marcus Bontempelli doesn't finish his career at the Western Bulldogs. But the club, in a weird way, they felt like they got away with the steal of the sale of the century when they did it. I think the sense that I get now is that there's a few people thinking, geez, with everything going on, it's sort of not great timing that Bontempelli's out of contract at the end of next year. Because, Mitch, what happens if the arse falls out of the place, Bevo gets the sack, they lose one or more of those 3 we're talking about, English, Jamara, Smith. And then it's almost like, okay, well, it's a mini reset. You don't want Bontempelli being out of contract start of a mini reset.
Here's a question. At the age of 26, given what he'd achieved at the game, or the age of 29 and how he's still performing, is he worth more at the age of 26 or 29? Because player would lose value by the age of 29. But I don't know if Bont's necessarily in that case, given how well he's still going.
It's a really good question.
Because
I would have the Bontempelli who re-signed in May 2021 a hair ahead of the Bontempelli right now.
Wouldn't be my much.
No, it wouldn't be my much.
Because the theory with these free agencies, when they're 26, they sign for these 6, 7, 8 year deals because by the age of 32, they've made their cash.
Yep.
Rather than get to the age of 30 like Bont will, and you can't. Most players can't get these $1.2 million deals. Bont might be able to.
And also, just to cap off on this, speaking to the people that I spoke to today who are quite close to Marcus, I don't know him particularly well, only through what I've done in the media, is that, and that's why I brought up those quotes from SEN 5 years ago, is that he lives and breathes that mantra, that he needs to keep himself invested. He needs to keep living day to day and year to year in order to get the best version of himself. And I, like, I applaud that so much. How many conversations, Mitch, do we have in the media of, oh, the guy that signs the 8 years and then suddenly things don't matter as much? And it's like I think Cornelio's first bad year for the Giants was after he signed that 8-year deal and got made captain, right? And then it opens up that conversation of once you sign for that amount of money and you know it's a guarantee, like Cam Smith's going through a similar conversation in golf at the moment with Liv, once you know you've got the guarantee. Whereas, but to say that and then to live it are two different things. Like, to Marcus to say, okay, well, no, 4 years is enough for me. It lets the club do other things and it keeps me motivated and it keeps me stimulated. If that's the type of person that he is, that's clearly the type of leader that he is, and they are very, very lucky to have Marcus Bontempelli.
If you're Sam Power in negotiations with Jamara, Bailey Smith, Tim English, are you using those Marcus Bontempelli comments saying, hey, your skipper's maybe left a bit on the table here for someone like you to re-sign?
Yeah, I probably am, but I'm not sure it's getting through. If I'm Jamara right now, I'm...
It worked at Geelong. Joel Selwood took less for a long time. Yeah, it's Hawkins.
Takes a long time to build that sort of culture intrinsically, I reckon. I'm not sure that... I think the Dogs have got... The Dogs, for me, they're shaky.
Yeah. Just one thing that just pricked my interest before when you said about the reset if they leave. They do have some good kids coming through. So they get Croft as a top-end father-son.
Totally.
Darcy's going to be
Darcy's a star.
So there's only a couple of players, but it's not a West Coast situation where if the top end falls out.
I just meant the mini reset.
No,
as
I agree.
Far as like,
I just wanted to get that at point because I think the Dogs they're a bit unique in that scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess, you know, like the argument against me is that Adam Kingsley's come into the Giants when it all looked like GWS needed a mini reset and they're a kick away from a grand final in his first year. So it's not as though if Bevo leaves, Marcus is turning around going, oh, well, I'll look somewhere else as well. That modern footy's changed like that. But yeah, I just wanted nuts and bolts to be a little bit different.
Love it.
Because no one's talking about Bontempelli because they don't need to, because I don't think there's any chance of him leaving. But it's just weird. The scenarios that are going on at the moment, all the machinations, is now like this time next year, if Bont hasn't re-signed, it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm sure he will re-sign, but it's sort of annoying that we have to keep talking about this. That's what it'll turn into.
Love it.
That's nuts and bolts.
Now it's time for the best stinger in podcasting in the Southern Hemisphere.
It's time for Micro Mitch.
That's actually something that Scotty and I have been putting together.
That's actually very funny. that's hilarious.
Do you like it?
I like the stinger. I don't know if I'm going to like the segment, but I've got an open mind.
This is where we delve into the real, just pure list management sort of like footy nuff sort of stuff that list managers keep themselves awake with overnight. Last week at the AFL, 18 clubs at HQ for their annual briefing for the list managers, everything that goes about 3.5-4 hours, they're dialed in.
Is that porn for you, basically?
To be a fly on the wall. A few things ticked off. Ireland, they had pulled out of Ireland, but they're back in. They're going to be spending money there.
Exciting.
Yeah, Indigenous pathways took up at least an hour of the conversation because the AFL is worried that the Indigenous pathways haven't been as strong since COVID, and clubs, despite the list sizes dropping, maybe aren't investing or taking as many Indigenous players as they were 3 or 4 years ago. Clubs say that the list sizes are smaller. It's probably dropped off because of that. But the big one that clubs were waiting for, they didn't get an answer on, is these Northern Academies. So last year, Gold Coast take 4 kids at the top end of the draft, 3 in the first round, Reed, Rogers, Walter. And Walter. All stars. Victoria.
Hope to be stars.
Future stars.
Yeah.
Could show that back in the day.
We went through this last week when you tried to tell me that Riley Sanders was already getting better than Bradley Smith. Got subbed out.
Mixed feedback on that during the week. Yeah. Clubs in Victoria, as you could imagine, are blowing up thinking this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because of the investment that's been made into the northern markets in recent years, we're going to see this coming and coming and coming.
Yep.
The clubs up there say, well, this is just the start of it. There's so much more that goes with it. So just both sides of the argument here. The clubs up north say, clubs in Victoria have had father sons for years and we don't have any of that. So we need the academies. Dacos, Moore all win a flag last year. Gold Coast and Brisbane and those sort of clubs haven't, Ashcroft's coming through now, but these clubs haven't had this sort of opportunity. And the other thing too is that the clubs up there say that we wouldn't have access to these kids if it wasn't for the academy. Jed Walter could be playing soccer or rugby league or swimming, who knows what for. So bottom line out of all this, I think the academies stay. They might make them a little bit harder to get hold of this year when the list rules get changed a little bit. But I don't think the Victorian clubs are going to have their full wish and have this evaporated or removed in some way. I think the list rules are staying for the Northern Academy sides in years to come.
Is that Micro Mitch?
That's Micro Mitch.
What do you think, Scott? You don't, yeah, well, you created the stinger, so you would like it. We've got some work to do, I think. No, I like it. Right, we get into the minutiae of list management.
These things are important to discuss because this is what consumes the brains of these list managers that are behind the clubs.
Yes, and would consume the brains of some of our listeners, no doubt. Okay, let's get to Just Quickly.
Now, just quickly.
We love Just Quickly. It's taken on a life of its own. If you didn't listen to last week, our good friends at Callaway, our naming rights sponsors, once every four episodes, so basically once a month, Mitch, giving a prize pack. We don't know exactly what it's going to be. They're keeping it behind closed doors. It's going to change every 4 weeks. But if you get yourself on air, if you get yourself on the pod, you go into the draw. So three from last week. And three from this week, the first of which is Alex.
Just quickly, Mitch and Sam, just wanted to have a ask. Obviously, the AFL is looking at a mid-season trade period for 2025. Now, who do you think would benefit most from that mid-season trade period? Whether that's a club or whether that's a player who's on the fringe or even a player looking to move to a contender. Who do you think would most benefit from the mid-season trade period if it is added into the AFL in 2025?
It's going to be clubs at the top end. This will happen, I think, but everything the AFL says about wanting competitive games all through the season is going to fall off a cliff because what you're going to see is you're going to see clubs like West Coast and North Melbourne rated for their stars.
Yeah.
Clubs like Collingwood. You know, we talk about Jack Darling as an example. You think he's done. He's near the end. What would stop Collingwood, who are without Dan McStay, offering up a future second-round pick for Jack Darling if it helps him win the flag this year? These are the things that are going to happen.
And that's why I don't like it. That's why I don't like it.
I love it because it's going to give us more to talk about and it's going to be cool to cover. But in terms of pure list management, I'm not the biggest fan of it.
But that's a cheap way. It's a cheap reason to like it.
But
more to talk about.
Yeah.
Like the answer to Alex's question from my perspective is who's it going to benefit the most? The AFL. So we're talking about it more.
Yeah. Where do you sit on the fact that Victorian clubs are going to be advantaged too.
They will be. It'll just become an intrastate.
Yeah.
There's going to be clubs going from Victorian team to Victorian team. There's no one going up to the Gold Coast at round 11 who's got three kids and they need to move them.
Yeah, and they're on $250,000 as opposed to about the NBA and NFL. Yeah. They move because they're all on $2 million+.
Yeah, we're on $10 million a week.
Yeah.
Claude.
Hey, boys. Love the pod. Just quickly, on Thursday, went between gates 2 and 3 hoping to catch yous. However, I was thoroughly disappointed, got to 6:30 and was not able to locate either of you. I can clearly see the Callaway sponsorship has changed you boys.
That's good gear. You said you were going to be out there. You were meant to be hosting your pregame show.
I was.
There. So Claude wasn't looking hard enough or you disappeared?
Our studio booth got moved from in between gates 2 and 3 to in between gates 1 and 2. So I was around near where you walk the from Fed Square, I was there.
This is what happens when you don't have social media. You weren't able to communicate with your tradies listeners.
I love my life without social media. Thank you, Claude. Alex.
G'day, Mitch and Sam. Look, just quickly, thought I'd provide a update into the voice chat extravaganza that we embarked on throughout last football season. I thought listeners might be keen to understand where that situation's gone. Now, as we are aware, she never, in fact, responded to the voice message that I've sent. That hasn't changed. But what has changed is that she's back at the coffee shop. So this really has thrown a big spanner in the works and something that I wasn't really mentally gearing up for or preparing for. So the other day, as I do, go to walk and get my coffee and I'm just expecting the usual, you know, no small talk, just get my coffee, get in, get out. But as I turn the corner, I notice that the lady that I'd exchanged a voice message to, extending the olive branch to go for a drink, was on. She was on. And I wasn't expecting that because she told me she was done. So she was on. And look, I'm not proud of this, but I put my head down and I walked straight past. I went, no, I'm not confronting that. Mm. Anyway, I get 20 metres down the strip and I just think to myself, look, mama didn't raise no so you're going to march back over there and you're going to have a chat to her and you're going to confront it.
No.
And that's exactly what I did. And look, we talked like nothing had even ever happened. So that's really, you know, look, a bit of a wholesome sort of twist in the tale. I'm not really sure where it goes from here. I'm probably just beating a dead horse, but that's okay. Cheers.
Wow, Alex, one of the OG voice memos.
I was on the edge of my seat for that.
I thought
the voice is still as crisp.
I thought it was going to end with him getting a date out of it.
Mm. Was he left on red or?
Yeah, she definitely remembered.
Yeah. What do you think about him going like the nothing ever happened, just sort of soldiering on?
No, it's not for me. I think
you would have raised it.
You've either got to raise it or you've just got to ignore, I think.
Mm.
Also, change cafes. Bro, there's so many.
He was acting on the impression that she wasn't going to appear again.
You're not a coffee drinker, are you?
Not really.
It's madness.
I had one this morning.
It's madness. Do you have one in Devonport?
No, actually in Penguin.
Where's Penguin?
No, about 15 minutes out of Devonport.
There's somewhere out of Devonport?
Yep.
I thought Devonport was out of wherever it is.
Strong, just quickly representation too. are you dissing Tassie already? We're aboard the Devils. I like the just quickly. We had a few missing last week, but the
use
of the just quickly term.
It's bad.
And how Alex hasn't got a response just on it, the fact how crispy his voice is.
He's got a good voice.
Yeah.
Did you see the photo I put in the WhatsApp group? When I was on Thursday, a guy came up and like showed me his phone.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Just quickly. Just quickly become as big as tradies.
We need more selfies with Sam sent to us if you see him at the footy this weekend.
Oh, you're asking for people to come up and have photos of me?
Yes.
To deliberately make me uncomfortable?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
All the above.
What's on this week?
Big week. Glamour on the grid.
Oh, boy. The tradies. The tradies are back on the grid.
Are we going to recreate our photo from last year?
Yep.
Do you know what? I've got to the same stage as I was last year where I've realised I haven't worked out what I'm wearing.
For fuck's sake.
I don't have all day to sit around.
I really hate swearing on this pod. But how have you got to the day before Glamour on the Grid?
I've been in.
And the dress code, by the way, for those unaware is evening glamour. Wearing your seven suit.
No, I won't.
Is Kate coming?
She is, yeah.
Yes, Kate will help. Kate will help.
Actually, you sent a photo of the two of you at the races.
Had a great
on the weekend.
Chat to Kate at the races at Caulfield in the committee room.
Do you go to the races if you're not in those sort of rooms anymore? No, I thought so.
Glamour on the grid. Okay, yeah, great. We'll get a tradies photo.
Then we got Collingwood St Kilda.
Yep.
A bit of Saturday scoop.
Yep.
I might pop into the F1 actually on the weekend for a few hours.
Are you invited or?
I've got some tickets, yeah.
You've got accreditation?
No, I don't. No.
Where do your tickets get you into?
I've got a grandstand seat.
Ah. Okay. Yeah.
What does your weekend look like?
Just Grand Prix. This is Grand Prix Saturday, Sunday. Just, you know, go and.
Both days.
Yeah, well, no, I'm a big F1 fan, as you know. So, you know, just go rub shoulders with Lewis and Oscar and Dan.
I might be interviewing George Russell at some stage.
What?
Any questions?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why?
Just it's part of a promotional link we have.
Hang on. What's the promotional link?
You have to wait and see in 7 years.
No. What is it?
It's through one of your sponsors.
Mm. Okay. We'll take this off air. Mitch, great fun.
It's good.
Thank you for listening to Tradies, Season 2, Episode 2. Brought to you by Callaway. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.